Good day, and welcome to Sea to Ski with Sarah and T, putting the P in professionally managed vacation rentals. This is the Vacation Rental Management Professionals Podcast, coming to you from the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
And from the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. I'm Sarah Bradford from Winter Park and Steamboat Springs.
And I'm Tim Cafferty from the Outer Banks of North Carolina and Sandbridge, Virginia. Together, we bring you the first podcast focused solely on professionally managed vacation rentals across the nation, or as we like to call it, Sea to Ski
with Sarah and T.
In the next 30 minutes, we hope you'll join us on a journey as we dive into issues affecting folks like us, the professional vacation rental manager, allowing you to run your business more effectively, make more money, and most importantly, have fun doing it. We are back and better than ever. So to remind you, I'm Tim.
And I'm Sarah.
And all I can say is wow. Sarah, I think I speak for both of us when I say thank you to all those folks out there who are listening to this lark of an idea. I am humbled and overwhelmed by all the people that have downloaded and listened to our previous episodes. We seem to have captured a bit of a following out there. And so there are hundreds of podcasts. We realize you have many choices. And on behalf of Sarah, I want to thank you for choosing to listen to this one.
And on that note, speaking of listening, we've had some folks give us comments already. So I just wanted to bring up one specifically that we heard from an actual private owner. It was a friend of mine, I have to admit. And she listened to episode 3, I guess it was, about why owners need you. And she mentioned, she said, oh, well, that was great, great points you made, Sarah. But there's two other really big ones you missed. One being laundry. Didn't even think of mentioning that. And that is when private owners have to do their own laundry, the cleaners have to use the washer and dryer in the property. They don't have clean linens to bring like we do with the linen service. And it takes a lot of time. So she's paying that cleaner a lot more money to do the laundry. And the second one is just that she's beholden to the cleaner that she has in that small area. Every day she said she's nervous she'll quit. And since it's not consistent work that she's doing for my friend, she can't allow a back-to-back. So that means someone leaves on Saturday and arrives on Saturday. She always has to put one day between her rentals to be sure the cleaner can show up and clean. That can hurt your rentals significantly if you can't back up reservations. So just two more comments from a listener. And we would love to hear from any of you on ideas you have to add onto our podcast. So feel free to go to Facebook or go to our website, seatoskiwithsarahandt.com, and let us know what you think.
So that brings us to our next episode. We actually were not going to produce another show until we got to VRMA in late October, where you will remember we're going to be doing a podcast at the VRMA conference. But all we can say is due to popular demand, here we are, and we have some more info for you to impart on you today. So today's episode is entitled, Keep Your Owners Happy and They Won't Leave You, 11 Strategies to Connect with and Enhance Your Relationship with Property Owners. So this is going to be a good one, Sarah.
Absolutely. Why don't you get us started, Tim?
Okay. Keep me on task, as always. So number one, first and foremost, I always remember this gal who, if you're in the business, you'll remember or know that everybody has their owners. No matter what position you are in the company, this owner calls you, and they always have a issue of some sort that probably could be handled by somebody else, but they call you. So I remember at a time I was a general manager of another firm, and I had this lady who I never actually met, but she called me every week. And it was always about that week in July. We need to get that week in July. And I would do this, that, and the other, and I'll put it on special or promote it, and I would make sure I'd stop by the house and everything was in good shape, and so we have something to talk about, etc. And she stopped one time in the middle of the conversation. She said, you know what, Tim? I love you like a spouse. I was like, oh, that's so nice. She said, but you don't give me that week? Baby, we're getting a divorce. And so I've always remembered that. Revenue is first and foremost in our relationship with owners. So we could do a whole podcast on this alone. But be sure you are watching revenue closely, adjusting rates, making sure the photos are up to date, maintain you're marketing that it's appropriate. I have houses to watch folder. You probably have something as well. Those special houses of my owners that I look at very, very regularly, at least weekly. And there are now tools for this out there. There's a company called Beyond Pricing. There's LSI Tools. There's VRM Intel. HomeAway has a product that we talked about before, and I think we're going to talk about again that's out there. This is the primary focus of what we do. We are the professionals. We know how to price houses. And there's also that human element of that, that instinct that you can have all these tools and so on. But ultimately, I was just talking about this with one of our management team the other day. You have to have your experience in the market as well that factors in this. And just make sure you're doing the best you can for your owners at all times.
Great points, Tim. One thing that comes up with this topic is you're not always doing great for every single owner, or maybe you all are, but sometimes we at our companies notice that we're not doing well for a certain house, or all of a sudden a condo at the base was just killing it for 2 years, and then the third year it's dropping off. Maybe there's reasons, maybe there's not. Maybe the owner's using it more, maybe they're not, whatever it might be. I think it's important that we all proactively remember to reach out when the news is not good about revenue. Recently, I had an owner that I had been meaning to call, and I just kept putting it off. I saw their revenue was not doing well, and they reached out to us and said, "Hey, I noticed my revenue is dropped." That just stabbed me in the heart, because if I had called that owner first and said, "Hey, Jenny, I saw that your revenue's dropped off. I want you to know we're working on it. We're trying to figure this out. Or I think it might be because of this or this." That owner now thinks you are on it, even though the news is bad. But when she had to reach out to me and say something, I was already behind the eight ball.
Good one. So that goes back to just understanding who you're working with and knowing your owners, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know the ones that are going to be watching it closely, and you want to pay close attention and talk with them often if that's important to them. So should I go to number two?
That's a great idea. We only have 30 minutes, don't forget. These people are counting on us.
Okay, yes. We're going to stick to our 30 minutes. Number two on the top 11 reasons why how to get your owners to love you and never leave you is maybe for me the most important one. And that is that you really need to know your owners. As you get bigger as a company, Tim will probably agree with this, it's harder and harder to remember who has two kids, who has the three daughters, who lives in Alabama, who lives in wherever they live. Your owners cannot just be a name, or they are not connected to you. They can't be just a name and an email. We go by what's called the Ford philosophy, F-O-R-D, and we learned that at VRMA, a VRMA conference, when John DeJulius, you definitely should follow his newsletter, he presented a way to know people, and he said you should know everyone's family, something about their family, something about their occupation, something about R, recreation, and D, dreams. So F, family, O, occupation, R, recreation, D, dreams. And actually, after we went through the conference, we sat down as a management team and quizzed each other whether we knew the Ford on each other. And surprisingly, I didn't know some of the dreams of the employees. This goes back to your index card, Tim. Sometimes I don't want to know their dreams because it says, you know, I want to leave in a year and go travel the world. But really good to try to know this on your owners, and you have that relationship with them. That is very hard for them to break that then. If I know about your kids, and not to be fake, this is the fun way of running our business, is to know our owners and have fun creating these relationships. But if I remember your birthday, I remember your anniversary, maybe you arrive and I know that it's something special has happened. Your daughter just got married and I have a bottle of wine there with a card. How in the world do you ever leave me?
I want to chime in here because I had the privilege or distinction of managing a firm that had 1,147 properties, and I had 500 employees. I think we profiled that in our first episode. And I clearly remember walking around the halls and someone would turn the corner and I would look at my assistant and go, "Am I supposed to know that person? Is that an owner?" That's not what you want. You want to know your owners. And you have a really cool tool that you guys use on this that I have honestly not embraced, but I think it's really cool. How do you help your people do this?
Well, once we take on an owner, we review photos of them once a year with our team. it's hard to remember all those faces. I can remember the ones I met with for longer than an hour because that's sealed into my brain. But for one of our new owner managers to remember who Mr. Smith is versus Mr. Jones, it's tough. So we review those photos. You can find that we used to have owners send us pictures of themselves, but now we can really find them on Facebook, or we make sure we get those when they first sign on.
That's great. I was also very purposeful, I will say, just on the last note on this number two, of the size of our company. Again, having coming from a firm that had 1,147 properties, I knew I didn't do this very well. And that's why I've chosen to have caps on the size of the two companies I own. I feel like we serve our owners better when we know them. And so you've illustrated that very well. Which brings us to point number three on our list of keeping your owners and cultivating the relationship. And that is something that many of us dread. I will say my department heads shudder around this time of the month every month, and that's we're recording this right at the end of the month, because they have to come up with a newsletter article. And we actually provide our owners an owner newsletter every single month. I don't ask my staff to do anything I don't do. Our newsletter is actually between 8 and 10 pages long each month. I sent Sarah a few copies. She knows. I've seen hers as well. It's fabulously produced. But it is your opportunity to share news with your homeowners on your grounds. You can tell the story of how you opened the company. You can tell the story of how you handled this issue or that issue. And you get a face and a name with your staff to your homeowners, which is very important as well for them to know who's in charge of maintenance, who's the head housekeeper, who's the reservations or sales manager. Those people, they get pushed to the back sometimes, but they're the stars of your company. And we'll have another episode on that down the road about the face of your company, but it is an opportunity for your people to share information from their department, even when they don't think there's things to say or what have you. I am telling you, my owners eat it up. I get comments every single month about how timely and informative and important it was. And guess what? Those are also the owners that come back to me every single year. So it is a huge thing.
It's huge, Tim. So I can't tell you how much our owners love the newsletter, especially if you write it in a authentic kind of way. So since we started, we had our Winter Park Lodging Company, now Steamboat Lodging Company, mascot picture since the boys were babies. And every newsletter we put out, there's a different picture of the mascots, we call them, at the bottom of the newsletter. I couldn't believe how many owners have mentioned that they like that. They feel part of the family. We also put prizes in our newsletter. If you've read this far, write back with your ideas or comments, and they get a little gift we send them. It's another way to connect. Tim, I don't know if you do this, but we send our owner newsletter to owner prospects, those that are about to sign on with us or considering us versus another company. It's letting these prospective owners see what you're like and how much information you do share. One thing we add to our newsletter was we call it the trifecta. And so every 6 months we do a revenue email. So we do mail merge and send how your revenue did for the last 6 months in specific to each owner. Hello, John, your property Slopeside 202 is up $4,000 over the last 6 months with a average daily rate up $27. 2 weeks later, we send the owner newsletter. 2 weeks later, we send the owner survey. So we always survey our owners every 6 months. I love the trifecta because usually we have good news about revenue. Then we remind them how awesome we are in the newsletter and all this information. And then we survey them. And we just do the net promoter score. One question in the survey, would you recommend us to friends or family? And then we all sit and look at comments and see how we let them comment on that. And then we review that every 6 months. It's a powerful reminder, kind of that trifecta to owners with lots of communication from us.
I have not sent our newsletter to prospective owners, but I do have a quick story, as I always have stories. I do have probably 10 owners that have left the program who said, can I please still get the newsletter every month? Because we really like it. So that does resonate with them. Good on you, as I've said before. Number four I have on our list of 11 items for you to take away today is decor upgrades. Boy, this is tough. And again, we could devote an entire podcast to this kind of thing. Again, you are the expert. It is not a personal attack on them when you tell them their sofa needs to be replaced. And I would kind of dovetail on what Sarah was just saying about the surveys. You can use surveys to help make your point. Again, the Net Promoter Score, for those that aren't using it, if you ever get a survey that asks you to rate something on a scale of 1 to 10, you can immediately think, oh, Net Promoter Score. Your 9s and 10s are your promoters. Your 7s and 8s are your neutrals. And anybody that rates you 6 or below is a detractor. And so look at the surveys relative to a house and look at the ones that are detractors. Share those with your homeowners. Many of them will have sometimes biting comments in terms of the decor, and the owner can take it or leave it. But it's not you attacking them. It is your experience as a professional manager, and you manage all of these properties in the portfolio. It also relates to some of the things we've already covered about income falling or performance not being what an owner expects. A lot of times it does relate to decor. You've got to update stuff. So many times people put the old high chair from your child who is now freshman in college in the rental house, or the crib that hasn't been used in 5 years, or the old bike that chain comes off of, or what have you. Those things don't cut it. You have to be professional, and you're the one to deliver the news, unfortunately.
Tim, I feel like this is one of the toughest topics. I think we have to do a whole podcast on it coming up, because even in the past 5 years, the expectation of how your place looks, how the vacation rental looks, mm-hmm. has changed. Even if you decorated it brand new 10 years ago, owners think, well, that's good. I did that. I'm good forever.
Right.
And this conversation is hard, but I've had a lot of owners lately that I have broached the topic with them, and they said, thank you. Thank you for wanting to talk about this. Thank you for helping me figure out how to get more rentals and more return guests. So there's a way to do it, but I think we should devote a whole podcast to it. Mm-hmm.
I think I've done it again. I have gone out of order. So how about you cover in the next one for us as we move along?
Okay, so number 5 in the top 11 ways for owners to love you is to share positive reviews with them. You and I and other vacation rental company owners are looking at reviews often, or if you're not, you should be. But the owner is not necessarily looking at their listing all the time. They don't necessarily see a new review they got, positive or negative. So when we get raving reviews about their place, well, it's also incredible when the guest mentions our service. We share that with the owner, and they really enjoy reading them. And they also then know that we're watching those closely.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You do need to give them the good news. And the other thing is the opposite side of that, making sure we were talking about this at our manager's meeting the other day. It's so easy not to make that call. I know I personally had a goal of making one call a week to a homeowner. Now, I'm not going to get through all of my 300 owners in a year, but it does allow me to connect. But our management team, they all take a responsibility to do that. And sharing with them not only the positive reviews, but the good news that's out there. And you're just making them feel good. You know, we talked about just a moment ago making them feel bad about their old couch. But you can make them feel good, too, because that just solidifies that relationship. So I don't know about your market, but I'm in a very competitive market, particularly on the Outer Banks, as well as Virginia Beach. We have 35 legitimate competitors here. And so if I don't tell them what's good about their house, you can better believe the guy down the street's going to as well. So since I took two in a row by mistake, you can take the next one as well, by the way.
Okay, I'll do the next one. Sorry to interrupt you. The last thing on the positive reviews, that we are always in these properties. We're in there, you know, sometimes every other day. Encourage your staff to take a photo from maybe that just got, well, for us, we just got our first snow. Hopefully you didn't, Tim. But we just got our first snow. So if the employee takes a photo, a view from their deck, and the owner manager sends a quick note just saying, hey, I thought you'd like to see what it looks like from your property right now, they love that. What a good way to make them smile that day. So going on to number 6, this is a pretty easy one. And that is when they're visiting. So when they're visiting their property, proactively reach out to them and ask them how their home looks before they leave. So if you know they're going to come in, you know, have an organized way that your owner managers reach out to them after the first day of staying there and say, hey, Mr. Jones, how are you enjoying your home? How does it look? And that is such a scary question because you think, what are they going to say? Even if they have a negative comment, this goes back to number one about revenue. If you ask proactively, the negative comment hurts less on both sides, because at least I was asked how I like my property, instead of me having to call your company and tell you I was really upset the toilet wasn't clean or whatever your complaint is. Do you agree with that, Tim?
100%. That's a great thing. And again, you're so good. I learn every time we do a podcast. So that's a fantastic idea. That brings us number seven on the strategies to connect with and enhance your relationship with your owners. Make sure you tell them of any issue with their property before they arrive. So Sarah, you just talked about talking to them when they're here. Don't let them find the bad news on their own when they get there. Of course, your software can help you a great deal with this about work orders passing through, but you don't want them to open their statement at the end of the month and for the first time they're finding out that someone backed into a piling or ran over their trash can or what have you. Make sure they are aware, particularly when they're coming down or coming to your place, that they know before they pull in the driveway, oh, by the way, there's a dent in the carport and we're on it, but you should be aware. So I think you've had some experience on this too, Sarah.
Oh, of course. I actually was in a property recently and I noticed the blinds weren't opening and closing. So I asked the maintenance guy to fix it, one of our maintenance team members. They took it for repair, but I forgot to tell anybody. And sure enough, the owners arrived and had to tell us their blinds were gone. We worked through it, but it would have been much more of a pleasant arrival if we had told that owner that we took your blinds for repair. In fact, it would have been a wow. We noticed your blinds were messed up. They're in for repair. Aren't we great? Instead, it was the owner had to tell us, and then we had to say, oh, yeah, they're in for repair. So that one's an important one. Moving to number eight, this is a simple one, but I feel pretty strongly about it, is that you should get your owners Christmas gifts, holiday gifts, I guess is the PC way to say it. It's September right now. By the time this airs, it'll probably be October. Be thinking of it now, not December 15th, going, oh no, we forgot to get owners Christmas gifts. We have a lot of owners that show up around Christmas, so we don't even have to send them. We just have their Christmas gift waiting for them. And we do send all the other ones with a written note wishing them a happy holidays. We like to put a picture of our staff on the card, so it's very personal. And every year we do a different Christmas gift. This year, hopefully owners aren't listening to this podcast, we decided to do a Christmas ornament. We have a logo we use for lots of t-shirts and hats that say Ski WP or Ski the Boat in Steamboat. And so we're creating a unique ornament for 2017 that we'll be giving to every owner.
Wow. I'm also hopeful that owners aren't listening to this, because they're going to say, where's been my nice Christmas gift that Sarah gives to her homeowners? Because we do a terrible job at this. So I appreciate the idea. The only other thing I would say is make it local. You have the branding of it, but again, in a coastal community, shells, beach, lighthouse, all those kind of things play really well with Christmas gifts. Number nine, don't avoid telling them bad news. Again, we've talked about delivering news, checking in on them when they're here. Here's a great example. Today, as a matter of fact, we actually had a hurricane yesterday here on the Outer Banks. And so today, my team is out there looking at every house, and they will phone any homeowner that has damage from the property. From their cell phone, they will call the owner and say, I am standing in your living room, and I want you to know everything's fine, or the window on the southeast quarter of your top level is broken. Would you like me to manage that and get that taken care of for you? Better me tell them than the neighbor or the busybody maintenance guy that's looking for business or what have you. It's one of the reasons they are with us. We are boots on the ground. And so make sure they understand you've got bad news, but we're here for you.
Great point. And sometimes the bad news is not just a hurricane, but something you caused, or your guest caused. So recently we had a guest that was, they were partiers, hate to admit it. It doesn't happen very much to me, thank goodness. But the neighbors called the cops, and I had to go talk to some neighbors around the neighborhood. Instead of just hoping the owner wouldn't hear, I called the owner, dreading it, on Labor Day, and told him about what happened. He took the news so much better than if he had heard it from his neighbor. So I encourage you to call people with bad news, even when you caused it. And then the other thing on number 9 is call the owner when you don't have bad news. So if they only ever hear from you when there's a hurricane or you had partiers, that's not going to go well. So once a year, I call every owner, and I might just leave a voicemail, but I just say, I'm checking in. Just want to see how you're feeling about us. Any feedback? And sometimes they do have negative feedback, but again, it goes back to the theme of this podcast. Proactively asking versus them having to tell you goes a long way.
All right, couple more. Number 10 is yours.
All right, number 10 is a booking email. And I don't know if this is possible with all of the software, different software programs you use out there. But with our system, we push them hard to allow us to have a booking email, which means when we book a property, the owner gets an email automatically that tells them they have a booking December 26th to January 2nd. About 2 years ago, we got the nerve up to include the field of how much it's for, how much the amount of the booking. And for some reason, I was nervous about that. I thought they would write back and say, well, this isn't enough, or this doesn't seem right, or why did you discount? But owners have been 100% great feedback on this, that they sit in a meeting at work and they check their email on the sly and they just realize they made $5,000, and it's another touch point that they know we're working for them.
We started doing that this past year, and I changed the subject line to, we did it again, exclamation point. Another week booked. And so you're right. They do look at their email, and they'll also show it to their friends going, look, I just made $5,000. So it's good stuff. So number 11, that brings us to our last point on our 11 strategies to connect with and enhance your relationship with property owners. Owner get-togethers. We have done this since we've been in this particular building we're in for the last 5 years, and it is now looked forward to by all of the owners who are here at that time. We also are predictable. We do it on the Friday after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's a big time here. Everybody's stuffed with turkey on Friday, Black Friday. There may be some shopping involved and whatever, so we have a big oyster roast here. And some of my competitors do this as well. Some do it very, very well. But we invite vendors that they may have seen on their statement in the past year. The plumbing guy, you know, Butch the plumber is always there. Real estate agents are there. The carpet cleaning guy, the appliance guy that we use. And it is a connection for those owners to see the face with the name. And, of course, all of our staff is there as well. We usually have someone playing music. It's really a nice event, and it gives them appreciation for being with us. But it also is a good pat on the back for our staff. So it's something we do annually, and I think you've done this as well.
Yes, we just started doing it more and trying to get to the owners when they're in town. It's a little more sporadic for us. Every time we do, we know that those owners we had social, you know, we were able to socialize with them, have some food, have some drinks. It has such an impact on the relationship. One other thing I wanted to add to number 11, besides organizing ways to have parties with them, is if you ever run into your owner by chance, so let's say you're out and about and you run into them at a local restaurant, like one of our favorites in Winter Park is Dino's. This is a great idea, and it does not cost that much money, and you should have budget for this anyway. I try to secretly then go pay their bill, as long as they're not with 40 people and it's going to be $2,000. But I secretly pay their bill. Then I say hi to them. Then I leave. Woo! That has some impact to those owners. They love it.
Again, one-upping me. I've only paid for dessert in the past. So Sarah does it again, showing me up. But
I'm buying your filet mignon.
Yes. Hey, here's one that's not on here I'm going to throw in as well, and that's no charge work orders. If you are not doing that, shame on you. If your system has a work order system that you can report, make sure you're getting those in there as well so the owner knows what you're doing for them at no charge, because they look so often about what they did get charged for, sometimes they forget about the no charge stuff that we do all the time. But all that leads us into our weekly segment of not so hot off the presses, but definitely happening, and this week's topic is regulations and local government restrictions. Listen to this. In the last week, I'll repeat that, I have seen news articles from San Diego, California, Austin, Texas, Maui, Hawaii, Waco, Texas, San Bernardino, California, the Yucca Valley near Palm Springs, Bend, Oregon, Hollywood, California, Boston, Massachusetts, or the Choquelet Township in Upper Michigan. I'm sorry if I said that wrong. But all of them have talked about the, quote, controversial topic, unquote, of short-term rentals. And so the message to you today is to get involved. If you do not have a seat at the table, Mr. or Mrs. or both vacation rental manager professional out there, if you're not at the table, you don't have a voice. Make sure your voice is heard. And Sarah, you had some thoughts on this as well.
Yeah, I think when you live in a vacation destination like the Outer Banks, or for me here in the mountains of Colorado, you think, well, this isn't going to happen to me. Of course we want vacation rentals. Of course we want owner guests coming to our area. But even in Steamboat in the last couple of weeks, where they've had vacation rentals for 45, 50 years, I've been dealing with two different situations more locally in one neighborhood where they don't want to have vacation rentals because they, quote, don't like how many cars are driving down the road. So I think staying on top of what the issues are and not turning a blind eye to it, but addressing those, whether you're canvassing a neighborhood or you're forming a group with other vacation rental, professional vacation rental owners, make sure you stay ahead of the issue.
No doubt. And there are resources out there. I am not what I would call a political advocate. I don't see Sarah in that way. But when it affects your business, who else is going to stand up? And so if you're a member of the Vacation Rental Managers Association, and if you're not a member of the Vacation Rental Managers Association, you should be. But VRMA has an advocacy and government affairs department where they can provide you tools. There are also folks that consult on this. There's a fellow named Matt Curtis who has a company called GPS Policy Group. Whatever the resource is, no one has better than you. And that's your position and your location with the community. Be seen, be heard, make sure industry is not vilified. Put a face and a name to it. It's so much harder to be angry with someone when you meet them and realize, well, they don't have three heads after all. I had that experience just last week. I had an opinion about somebody. I met them completely different than what I thought they were, and I'm an advocate of that person. So you do that out there, those who are facing regulations, whether it be tax increases, whether it be regulation against vacation rentals, whatever it is. It's a hot topic. So let's quickly review our 11 points for our strategies to connect with and enhance your relationship with property owners. Number one is revenue. Watch it and make sure you're doing the best you can for your property owners.
Number two, you really need to know your owners and have a relationship with them. Try the Ford method, F-O-R-D.
Number three, owner newsletter. Do one at least every quarter. It's your opportunity to share the news from your company with your owners on your standards and platform.
Number four, decor upgrades. We'll talk about that more in the future. It's important that you are speaking with the owners about what they need to do to their property.
Number five, share positive reviews with them. Don't always give them the bad news. Give them good news as well.
Number six, when they're visiting, you reach out to them versus them reaching out to you. Check in on see how they're doing.
Number seven is the converse of number five. You share the positive news and the reviews with them. Make sure you give them the bad news, too. Don't wait for them to find out on their own. Tell them the bad news.
Number eight, making Tim look bad. Give Christmas gifts, holiday gifts to your owners, and also consider buying them dinner if you run into them.
Also, another issue along the line at number seven was making sure you're telling the owner any problems before they arrive at the property.
And number 10, make sure that your system sends a booking email every time they get a booking, and I encourage you to tell them how much it's for.
And the final one is owner get-togethers. Do not fear the fact that owners will talk because they're talking anyway. You might as well have them come and talk in your office where your employees can involve themselves in the conversation. So that'll do it for this episode. Thanks, Sarah. Great job.
That was fun, Tim, as always. See you next week.
Okay, so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Sea to Ski with Sarah and T, Professional Vacation Rental Managers podcast, brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services. Together, Sarah and Tim manage more than 600 privately owned vacation rental properties, and both are regarded as experts in the vacation rental management industry. Music provided by Ben Sound. We encourage your participation on this podcast by sharing it with friends, and please feel free to rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Comments or reviews on this particular podcast can be made on their website, Sea to Ski with SarahandT.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast as well as provide them feedback on this episode or give them ideas for future topics. We look forward to speaking with you next time on Sea to Ski with Sarah and T.